What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 7th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. JP Sears, 6 innings, 200 runs, and 8 strikeouts against the Mariners, and only 5 base runners, 15 whiffs. This was a really amazing start. What we saw last time from JP Sears were a lot of breaking balls inside the zone, and not really doing much with his four-seamer. It was really just like, hey, sliders and sweepers, this is what I'm going to do now. But JP Sears did what we wanted him to do finally, which is actually have command of all four pitches. He threw four seamers upstairs, got whiffs there. He got changeups down in arm side. He got breaking balls down in glove side. Oh my gosh. Actually, the changeup was the most thrown pitch he threw across. Of course, the most thrown pitch of the night. 38% CSW. What is going on? Is this actually real? I don't know. I hope that he can locate like this in the future, but he gets the Padres next. If you really want to roll with it, great. I think this is a flash in the pan. We've seen this from Sears before where he just has like better command of given nights. But this was pretty cool, and I really hope that he can replicate it against the Padres next. Brian Wu was on the other side, 6 innings and 0 runs and 6 Ks and just 2 hits. He's going fastball focused completely, and it's really, really good. This four-seamer is a super flat four-seamer as well. Located sinkers were helpful as well. He's not really doing much outside of those two pitches with only 9 pitches that were not fastballs in this game, which is crazy. It's absolutely bonkers. I guess we're just going to keep starting Wu, and I'm sure he'll hear whispers about injury in between, but honestly, if you haven't heard any of those whispers, you've been fine with Brian Wu, so I guess we just keep going. Cal Quantrill was my stream pick of the day. Got the win against the Cardinals, 5 innings of 0 runs. Yes! Thank you so much, Cal Quantrill. 3 hits and 4 walks and 1 strike. And how am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Kind of weird. Cal Quantrill is not throwing good splitters. And it's kind of weird because it was a really bad again for the second straight start. The other one was the Dodgers. And I'm sure we like hand waved that, but this was against the Cardinals. And now I go, oh no, I'm not going to take another chance here. Yusei Kikuchi, oh my gosh. I've preached so much doom and gloom about him. It's been really, really tough for me, and here he is against Baltimore, who goes against lefties well. He's not in Baltimore. He's in Toronto for this game, and what does he do? Has his best start of the year. Gets a win. 6 innings, 100 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, 6 Ks with a golden goal, 21 whiffs, 35% CSW. So what happened? Well, the slider last two starts had an 86 mile per hour velocity. This one was 89. However, he didn't really throw it that well. It was in the middle of the zone or out of the zone too much. So only 6 for 11 strikes. Yeah, allowed a hit on it, which was really annoying. It was just right down the pipe. The thing is, though, his four-seamer is just so good. And actually, if you remember in the preseason, I remember saying, hey, look, Yusei Kikuchi, if you can just please get the thing upstairs consistently, oh my gosh. And that's what he's doing right now. And 11 out of 49 whiffs on that four-seamer as he located it so well upstairs. Curveball was number 2. Was the number 2 pitch that was really good. The changeup was fine, and I still don't love that pitch, and I still wish I had more faith in that slider to come back, but at least he's throwing it harder now and with a little bit more confidence. 11 thrown as opposed to, what, like 2 or 4 in his last start? So he gets the Brewers next, which isn't ideal, and I would love to have a nicer matchup to feel better about trending upward for Kikuchi. But then he gets the Red Sox after that. And I think we're just going to go with both of those starts for Kikuchi and hope that everything is okay, because this was such good fastball command. Mitchell Parker, speaking of sliders, against the Atlanta Braves, 7 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 2 strikeouts. So he went 7 innings and 71 pitches, and I expected to see more sliders, and that's actually what happened. But instead of 8 for 22 whiffs, just 1 whiff, which doesn't surprise me because I think Atlanta adjusted to seeing Mitchell Parker before. That's kind of wild. 7 innings at 71 pitches, 10 pitches an inning is unheard of, especially against an offense like Atlanta. And now he gets the Tigers next. So Mitchell Parker, yeah, I'm all for that one. That seems pretty cool. Even though he only had 4 total whiffs, I'm so down for that one for Mitchell Parker. Tanner Houck against the White Sox, 7 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts. That's awesome. And here's the thing. You get one more start, Tanner Houck, until you get your aces gonna ace. Okay? Because you've gotten such a cushy schedule. It's been so nice. And now you get the Phillies. So take down the Phillies like it's business as usual. 7 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, 9 Ks. He had a no-hitter through 5. Just do that. Also, I'm going to have a video out this weekend on Tanner Houck. So definitely go watch that one. Enjoy it. And it's going to be great. We have, that's going to be on YouTube. So go to youtube.com/pitchlist. You should be subscribed to that channel. I do my best analysis on that channel. I do 2 pitchers a day, 1 guy, and then a bonus at the end. But it's just so much fun. You gotta go check out those YouTube videos. And they're edited by Josh Sperry now, way better than they used to be. Reynaldo Lopez against the Nationals. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. 9 whiffs, 28% CSW, 86 pitches thrown overall. He deserves more wins. The fact that he didn't get a win in this one bothers me immensely. It was Blake Snell blueprint with 4 seamers upstairs and breaking balls down. I mean, that's pretty dang cool. So we're just going to keep going with Raylo. Yes, it's against Baltimore. I think I'm just going to go with it anyway because Raylo's just been that good. Let me just do that. Tanner Bibee against the Royals. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. It wasn't the lower release angle that we want to see. It was like a 0.6 as opposed to like a 0.7 or maybe even hinting at a 0.8. But that's fine. It's not 0.4. And all that means is just that the 4-seamer isn't as steep. It's slightly harder to hit than it used to be. This was a lot of sliders that were just in the upper half, though, and is kind of concerning for the long haul of just, hey, didn't really have my changeup, and my slider just worked, but not really well spotted. I don't know. We just keep going with Tanner Bibee as he goes against the Reds in Cincinnati. Brady Singer returned for the Royals to go against Cleveland. 3.2 innings of 2 earned runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. Only 70 pitches. I imagine they were a little cautious just because he missed his last start. He got singled out in this one as well. He's a cherry bomb. He always has been, and we move on. Randy Vasquez did decent against the Diamondbacks. 6.2 innings, 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 3 strikeouts. He had 7 whiffs on his 4-seamer, which is nice. It was good locations on it. But I really don't think that there's much to go after here from Randy Vasquez. The fact that I'm seeing this is going, oh man, that's a good Randy Vasquez start when it's just 3 strikeouts and a mediocre ERA. He did get a quality start at least, and it's a sub-1 whip. That's nice. No win. I mean, it's just, it's not enough for you to go and chase it thinking you're 12-teamers. 15-teamers, you could do worse, but yeah, I wouldn't really go for this. Sonny Gray got rocky road and could not take advantage. 4.2 innings of 300 runs, 2 hits, 4 walks, 5 Ks. Honestly, I feel like he was pitching normally, and it just didn't go his way. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just not what you want. So it's fine. I don't think Sonny Gray is now a walk machine. It just didn't, just that little extra bit of polish just wasn't there for whatever reason, and so it goes. Slay Sassone against the Padres, 4.1 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. Yeah, no. Don't go after Slay Sassone. Why would you go after Slay Sassone? Just don't go after Slay Sassone. Walker Buehler against the Pirates, 3 innings, 300 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. His defense did let him down a little bit, but it was still just 5 whiffs and 21% CSW and 78 pitches as he's still just figuring this out. You know, I think that the stuff is legit. He just doesn't really have a good game plan with what he's doing. And I think over time, Walker Buehler will figure this out. He has the TR on, turn it around right away. He gets the Rangers next week, which is going to be a weird one. And I honestly don't really want to start Walker Buehler for that one. But I do have faith that as the season progresses, Walker Buehler is going to turn into that guy once again. And I would be sticking with it. We have other guys to talk about, Hunter Green, Assad, Marcus Stroman, etc. Cade Povich has MLB debut, and what are we doing with Pablo Lopez? We'll talk about all of that after this break. Hunter Green against the Cubs got a win, 6.2 innings, but it was 4 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts. I mean, 17 whiffs and 30% CSW, you know, like, it was pretty cool to see 4 of 17 whiffs on the splitter. He's going to have generally a higher ERA than we like because of the home runs. Fine. But he had a good slider located. His heater, when it's not over the plate, is still really hard to hit. He's kind of a hipster, and that's just what it is. You're just going to keep starting Hunter Green against Guardians and the Brewers. Javier Assad against the Reds on the other side. 5.2 innings of 5 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. I think it is over here for Assad as the Vargas rule, but if you want to go one more against the Rays, fine. Let's just see what it's like there. But it feels as if this whole magic spell is fading away. Marcus Stroman against the Twins was a disappointment. 4.2 innings of 5 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 2 Ks. Could not seal the win despite the run support they gave him. 7 whiffs to 21% CSW, only lasted 4.2 innings, of course, as well. This was a game where he went more cutters than sinkers, but the breaking balls were really just not well spotted. And yeah, Stroman just wasn't at his peak here. It's fine. We keep going with Stroman. Bailey Falter against the Dodgers, 4 innings of 5 runs because it's the Dodgers. He's still a decent stream in deeper leagues, but yeah, you don't start him against the Dodgers. Jake Woodford, also known as the Amish Mustang, 4 innings of 7 runs, 10 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. Yeah, just don't start Jake Woodford. Pablo Lopez went against the Yankees. 4 innings of 7 runs, 4 hits, 6 walks, and 4 Ks. What is going on? I mean, first and foremost, this was the Yankees. And you see Pablo Lopez kind of trying to figure things out. It was, I think I had him in the questionable start tier. Right. Okay, maybe I had him probable start, but like, I understand this outcome against the Yankees. If this happened against, like, I don't know, the Marlins, then we gotta really talk. Okay, but watching this one, Pablo Lopez was very meticulous and cautious against Soto and Judge, understandably so, bit with Stanton as well. And, you know, he had some mistakes and they got burned, and he focused on his sweeper a ton, like, I think too much. He didn't actually go after his fastball, I think, enough. He didn't utilize his changeup enough. And he's a guy that, when he was with the Marlins, it was fastball changeup as his thing. And he tried so hard to find a slider, a curveball, a cutter, all of it. And then he got to the Marlins where, the Twins, where he went to driveline. And not only did he increase his fastball velocity from like 93 and change to 95, he also learned the sweeper that really helped him out last season. However, the idea of Pablo Lopez having like a cutter or a slider to mix is just not feasible in my mind, just because he's tried to do that for years and it's one of those things that is just not going to show up, and he's just not really a slider guy. That's why the sweeper was an aggressive one of it, and it has worked. It isn't as dependable as other pitches. And honestly, the biggest thing here is that Pablo Lopez doesn't have this major nullifier, the changeup, working as well as he used to. Remember, the changeup is always there. It hasn't been. If you have Pablo Lopez on your team, and you're upset right now, I get it. I really do. I also would implore you to hold, and if you don't have Pablo Lopez, to try to buy low. I mean, I just think that Pablo Lopez is really good. If you want to bench him for a week, sure. Go ahead. Give him a moment. Thing is, he gets the Rockies on the road and the Athletics next. Like, those are going to be two really good starts. And if you're looking for opportunities for Pablo Lopez to find his changeup again, I mean, that's the best you can find. So it stinks right now. It's frustrating. Those 6 walks, all of it. The Yankees are really good, and he was really, really careful. Tried to be as careful as possible and just did not go his way. Cade Povich made his MLB debut against the Jays. And I put out a tweet after the first inning where he threw 5 four-seamers, and we have our internal tool, which showcases the live data of stuff, essentially. So that is the Fantastic Four of height-adjusted VAA, his IVB, his velocity, and of course his extension. And we also have actually a location metric in there too. And yeah, Povich, he looks like a Toby to me. The four-seamer hopefully has great command so that he can really set up his secondaries with that fastball, but it is not an elite fastball. It is poor metrics across the board as far as shape goes. And that's fine. Like, he could be a better version of Cole Irvin. Don't look at this line and go, oh no, 9 base runners and 5.1 innings. That means Cade Povich is bad and 6 earned runs. No, it's an MLB debut. We do not count MLB debuts, right? So he has curves, cutters, and changeups. So 3 C's of pitching, of course. And I really do see this as a Toby. Now the question becomes, how do the Orioles use him? Is he going to be slotting into this rotation? Is he going to be removed from this? It does feel like this was just a one-time thing, and then he's back in the minors. It might have actually been optioned already, and I didn't notice it. That's on me. At the very least, I mean, it seems like they just wanted to give a break to Kyle Brash for a week. So monitor this. It's pretty clear that you're going to see Cade Povich again when there is some opening in the rotation. Because keep in mind, right now, Means and Wells are completely out. We have Kramer, who's still weird about his arm situation. Albert Suarez is on the fringe, and so is Cole Irvin. So it's really only Burns, Bradish, and Grayson who are the locked guys in this rotation for the Orioles. And there obviously will be some room for Cade Povich later this year, so be on the lookout for that. But don't expect the world from him, right? I would much rather have Jackson Jobe on my team than Cade Povich, just because the massive impact that he would bring to the table. Today's updates, you have Cole Irvin, speaking of the Orioles, because it looks like that the Orioles are skipping Kyle Bradish completely in this turn, just give him extra rest, which makes all the sense. So it's going to be Cole Irvin today against the Rays, and it is in fact going to be Hogan Harris, not Luis Medina against the Jays. So it's kind of funny. I think I said Hogan Harris yesterday, and then I changed it on the site to Luis Medina. Now it's back to Hogan Harris. Pretty funny. Hogan Harris has good IVB on his four-seamer. I'm actually kind of excited to see if that's going to carry over in this game against the Jays. Tomorrow's starting pitchers, Luis Castillo, Grayson Rodriguez lead the way in the all-star tier. This is for tomorrow's games. Probable start tier is Brian Bayo, Kevin Gausman, Mackenzie Gore, Ben Lively, and Andrew Heaney. Ben Lively gets the Marlins, and Andrew Heaney gets the Giants. Andrew Heaney is my stream pick of the day there. That's great. And Ben Lively can't be streamed. Andrew Heaney's command is good right now. It was really bad for like one or two games, and then he came back and looked great again. And yeah, we're good with Andrew Heaney against the Giants. You have questionable start tier. This is a massive one. Matt Waldron did not have his knuckleball last time, so now he's in questionable against the Diamondbacks. Ranger Suarez is in London against the Mets, and no thank you. Alec Marsh against the Mariners, he does excel with four-seamers upstairs. That's how Marsh gets his outs, and he has good breaking balls. I think the Mariners are not going to be able to do much with it, or at least they're going to struggle against Marsh more so than the average opponent. You have Hunter Brown against the Angels. Maybe he does have the same command he has last time. That was really good from Hunter Brown. Hopefully he gets that one more time. Tyler Anderson against the Astros. He's the Vargas rule. Hopefully the changeup has some friends in his cutter and or four-seamer, but it is the Astros, so be very careful. Nestor Cortez gets the Dodgers. You have Charlie Morin as a cherry bomb against the Nationals. Kyle Gibson against Rocky Road. I actually like that one more than Ranger Suarez in London, believe it or not, because Kyle Gibson, his sweeper has been working pretty well as of late. Ben Brown against the Reds. I just don't think he's that good as a two-pitch pitcher. His fastball is not elite. Simeon Woods Richardson against the Pirates. It's about five innings is what you should expect, as they don't like him going against the third time in the lineup. It's the Twins. It's what they do. You have Gavin Stone against the Yankees. It's the ultimate test of ultimate destiny. Can Gavin Stone overcome against a really good offense? Probably not, but I hope he does. Taj Bradley against the Orioles. He just got bamboozled by them. Probably will happen again, but maybe not. Andrew Abbott, do what you want with Andrew Abbott. I can't figure him out, and he gets the Cubs. He has weird command. His pitches are performing better than they should. It feels like it's not that good. And Luis Medina, as I mentioned yesterday, throws 98, and he has questionable command, but if he does get his breakers in the zone, that can be a solid outing for Luis Medina against the Jays as he pitches for Oakland. And the do not start here, it's really painful to put Casey Mize down here, but he gets the Brewers. The Brewers are a solid offense, and I really just want to see Casey Mize do the thing once before I get back in. Bryce Wilson had one really good start against the Royals, of course, opposite Cole Reagans, because Cole Reagans couldn't get a win. But Bryce Wilson hasn't been good since, even though he gets the Tigers. Like, don't chase that. Rodri Munoz against the Guardians, no thanks. Even though Rodri's kind of cool, I don't really think there's enough to go for here, and the Guardians can be pretty solid. Nick Nastrini gets Boston, and all the other guys are really bad here, so Nick Nastrini, what the heck? Maybe this is the game that the yips are gone, and he doesn't walk the farm. And if that happens, he has actually a really good four-seamer, and I think some breaking balls to support it. Sean Manaea is in London, so I don't want to touch this one against the Phillies. Ryan Nelson just went, I think, seven innings really efficiently, and that's not going to repeat itself against the Padres. Luis Ortiz is gaining the pearl once again as against the Twins, and I don't want to go after that. Spencer Howard is not very good. Probably has an opener. We'll see. Against the Rangers, no thank you. And Ryan Feltner gets the Cardinals away from Coors, but it's still Ryan Feltner, so no thanks. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. Have a wonderful weekend. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your bat be low and your strikeouts high.